joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed.
Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The hands have lifted up, O Lord, they've lifted up their voice. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters.
Established of old, thou art from everlasting. So Lord, save me, oh my God. Arise, O Lord, save me, oh my God. For thou hast smitten the cheek of my enemies. Thou hast shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing be upon thy people. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten the cheek of my enemies. Thou hast shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord.
Father, take another look at your great love, for you have shown your kindness in a special way. You gave your only son, and with him all you had. Oh, what a wondrous love, it makes me feel so glad. I will exalt you, Father, your kindness in a special way.
with Joseph, amen. Today is June the 18th, 2023. And isn't it interesting that it is Father's Day today, glory to God. And I have a lot of material to cover, amen. There's some things on my heart, some wonderful encounters that I had this week with some brothers ministering a little bit about some things to some individuals. And but I'm very grateful, amen, for the Lord, amen, in my life. Just like I said, I have a lot to cover, amen, and there's some things on my heart that I want to unload and give to you, amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord God. Right now, Father God, I humble myself before you, Father, under your mighty hand, that you may raise us up and exalt us to the very summit of opulence and prosperity. Amen. I thank you, Lord God, that your word and how it declares that promotion doesn't come from the east, from the west, or from the south, Lord, but promotion comes from you, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, that as your people get a hold of your word, Father God, that they get exalted, they get elevated, they move and transition from glory to glory, Father God, and come into your purpose for their lives, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness on this precious day. I thank you for your presence right now, Holy Spirit. And we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, like I said, there's a lot of things I want to cover today. Hopefully we'll get to finish the outline this time. We've been talking about the way of God, and then right now we're on part 8. Amen. We've been talking about the way for quite a while now because, you know, there's a lot out there that's trying to tell us this is the way that we need to go, right? And, obviously if it's not from God, then you're going to be wasting your time, right? And I met some brothers this week, and there was a brother that called me, and he asked me, he said he has a couple of tickets to this event down here in Dallas, and it was a men's meeting event, and he said that, you know, if I knew anybody who wanted to go, you know, he's got 6 tickets, all right, and I told him, of course, I'd be willing to go, and then I checked around with some people that I knew from this area, and nobody was willing to go, so everybody was busy. And so, anyway, I went to the meeting, and the meeting was, very suke, very sarkikos, very flat, carnal, right? And it reminded me of something that I heard. I think it's from the teaching on the Marismosa, Brother Randy did back in the day. And he said, on the same ticket, on the same platform, you're going to see pneumaticos men, spiritual men, and carnal men. Suke, you know. And I guess, in all reality, I had never been to an event like that, you know. But they had this famous football player up there, you know, and a young guy, young in the Lord even, you know, he's a Napios. And he really didn't have anything to say, you know. He just kind of kept saying the same thing and over and over. And then there was another brother that shared, and he was testifying of what he's been through, but it had a lot of mixture of, you know, what I have, you know, and how that Jesus said, you're going to know the doctrine, whether it's of me, whether they speak of themselves, all right? And so, anyway, I left after that, and there was about 3,000 people there, you know, it was a pretty big event, and I left, and I was very hungry because I didn't eat lunch that day, so then I stopped at this place here and close to where I live, Waffle House, and I was sitting there eating, and I got to talk to a gentleman that worked there and the young lady that worked there, and, you know, minister to them the good news, amen, the gospel of the kingdom. And then I heard the brothers, there's a group that came in, 4 individuals, 3 adults, and one of them was a son. And come to find out, they had been at the meeting too, you know, so they stopped there to eat. Well, after I finished eating, I waited for them to finish their, you know, their dinner. You know, I didn't want to go over there and start sharing, and they're filling their mouths, if you will. But I walked over there and I told them, so you guys were at the meeting too, huh? And so we started shaking hands and stuff. And it reminded me of a dream, right, that I had a few months ago. And in the dream, I was talking to a group, four individuals in the dream. And I started sharing with them the kingdom of God. And we started talking about, you know, in the dream, about the ways of the soul, right? You know, discipleship, right off the bat. Well, like I said, I sat down and I started talking to them. And the one brother, it was interesting, he said that, well, maybe we can ask him, you know. And they were in a you know, discussion and things that have been happening in their lives about, you know, things that they're noticing in their own fellowship where they're from. And, you know, they wanted to know, how do we discern, right, what's not of God and what is of God? And I actually never really got to get into that with them, although I will. And anyway, we stayed there. Like I said, they showed up about 10:30 or so, and we stayed there till 12 o'clock. And all I was doing was just teaching the kingdom of God to them and sharing them with them my own experiences and answering some of their questions and things that they were going through. And we got to cover quite a bit of material, you know. And but it was interesting because it's just a drop in the bucket, right? And now the one brother, he says to me, you know, that he had asked the brother from where he's at, you know, the fellowship that he's at, that, you know, he wanted to be mentored, right? And if you've spent any time with me, you know, and listening to the message, the gospel of the kingdom that's coming forth out of my lips, you know that mentor is a Babylonian worldly institute and principle. It's not something that came from God. The kingdom of God is all about fathers. In other words, the fatherhood ministry is about taking the sons and imparting to them the portion that you have, and then they turn around and they receive their portion from God, and they get the double portion, right? The sons. And these, you know, like I said, I was sharing with them, and it was so refreshing for them, and it was so refreshing for me, because, like I said, the one brother, in saying that he's crying out for mentorship, he's really saying, I'm crying out for the Father. And that's how it is in a lot of cases throughout the world in the religious systems, is that the brothers and sisters don't know where to go. There is no higher place to go in the local fellowships except to be a pastor. You see, they don't understand their purpose. They don't understand what direction they need to be taken in life. And that's a common, you know, scenario for a lot of brothers and sisters. They don't know where to go. And they don't know who to get what they need, where to go to get what they need, right? And like I said, you know, I took the time to help them a little bit and understand the kingdom of God, the ways of God, and so on. And, you know, I sowed into their lives, you know, monetarily and spiritually. You know, and I remember when it came time to pay for the meal, they told me, you don't have to do that. And I just told them it's more blessed to receive, to give than it is to receive, right? And then also with the young lady I was sharing with her, is that whatever is blessed, it cannot be cursed. In other words, I was providing them a blessing, and I was going and I was willing to do it. And already sowing into their lives, you know, the kingdom of God, and trying to show them the way of God. Amen. And that the Father, like I said, you know, today is Father's Day, right? And of course, in the world, you know, they're celebrating Father's Day. And I read a little post article that talked about people are rejecting this, the attitude that we don't need to have fathers and let's rename the day to Parent Day or something. And people are saying, no, even people that are for these pronoun changes and all these things and other scenarios are saying in this scenario, no, there needs to be fathers and there need to be mothers. There needs to be somebody that's populating the earth. That's what it boiled down to, is what they were saying there. But anyway, like I said, you know, the world has their way of how they do things, and we have our way in how we do the kingdom of God, how we do the ways of God, right? So, in Matthew 13:10, and I share this because one of the brothers had asked me, you know, we want to necessarily know more about God, but we don't know where to get it from, you know? And so, I believe that God sent me to these young men And I'll see how far it goes, and I'll do my part to make myself willing to them, amen, and available. But they wanted to know more about the things of God, right? So Matthew 13:10, he says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Okay. And he answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Okay. So that's what this brother was asking. He wants to know more about the kingdom of God and these mysteries of the kingdom of God, right? And of course, I told them, you know, that you need to receive this as what you're getting right now is from the Lord, not just a brother that's knows information, right? And but like I said, you know, that's the start of a relationship that I hope goes a long way in the Lord and bringing up some disciples, amen, training up some young men. And I say young because I'm older than them. I already know I am. Not that young that they're, you know, teenage age or something like that. But I also, like I said, I was talking to them about the broadcast and stuff and how that the Lord had already dropped on my spirit some things that he wants me to reveal and share, right? And so I was listening to a podcast, you know, from Brother Randy and so on. And he was talking about, you know, when you begin to distract yourself through whatever means that is as a son or daughter of God and your relationship to the Father, when you get distracted and you start, you know, your time starts going towards, you know, more towards your wife, more towards your children, more towards your work, more towards your projects, your hobbies, whatever. And it's moving you away from the Father, and you don't even realize it. And so, therefore, you must keep God, the Father, centralized in your heart as the number one priority. Because everything that this world system is designed to do is to distract us away from the Father, right? I'm not talking about going to church. And even like I said, even being involved in the body of Christ somewhere can be detrimental in your relationship to the Father because you distract yourself and you move away from God, right? And so therefore, you must be wise in your walk with the Father. And and so there's Jesus in Matthew 7:13, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to destruction, all right? And many there be which go thereat. And then in the way it says in Luke 13:24, he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. All right? So many are going to seek to enter in and are not going to be able, right? So, you know, it's obvious that's what's happening in our world and our societies and our nation and throughout all over everywhere you look of the degradation of mankind getting off of the foundation of God, you know. Even from the very core of knowing that, you know, as the scripture says in Romans when it's talking about how women change their natural use, you know, men change their natural use, men working with men, that which is unseemly. Even knowing that, you know, what I'm doing is by the very core in the design of God and what he ordained, right? Even knowing this, yet still, they go beyond the boundary, right, of what God had intended for what a man should be and what a woman should be, right? And as it was interesting that in this article that I read about changing these pronouns for Father's Day and Mother's Day, and that, you know, people were talking about how is the earth going to get populated? Well, and I've shared this many times before, is that, you know, you can't produce outside of a man and a woman, right? And of course, the way of God is that therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and they two shall become one. In other words, they're going to be glued and they're going to be tight with one another, together, and obviously wanting it to be in a situation where they understand the order of God, right? When a man and a woman get together, and they start hanging out together and going out and realize that they want to be married, you know, it should be in the order of God, right? There's things of God that are set up in a certain fashion and form, the way of God, in other words, that the world opposes, you know, the Babylonian system opposes, you know, and all this order is all flipped around, right? And but he says, enter ye at the straight gate. And then it says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, the word strive is the Greek word agonizomai, agonize. And so when you agonize, you enter a contest, you contend. You all right? You contend with adversaries, you fight. Metaphorically, to contend, to struggle with difficulties and dangers, to endeavor with strenuous zeal, to strive to obtain to something. Literally, to compete for a prize, right? So he says, enter in, all right? Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Like I said, contend, all right? With all these distractions, these things that are trying to get that center and that core of your relationship with the Father, you need to strive and contend against all that. You need to fight against all that, all right? Because what will happen is that when you stray away from the Father, you begin to lose your focus. You begin to lose your identity and your premium of who you are as a son or daughter of God, all right? And that's what happens everywhere, is that people don't understand their purpose, the will of God. I was at a restaurant yesterday, and I was eating. And I asked for a female waitress on purpose, you know, because I feel like they're more attentive and they're more in tune with details. And so this young lady came up, and her name was Samantha. And I wasn't really thinking about the Lord or anything, but I kind of observed her a little bit, and I saw that, you know, basically, she's struggling with her purpose in life, you know. Precious young lady, amen. And so I was eating, and then when I was, like I said, after I finished eating a little bit, she came to me and asked me for some water and stuff. So she went and got the container to bring me some water. And then I shared with her that the Spirit of the Lord has revealed to me that you're struggling with your purpose. And she got a little teary-eyed. And I began to tell her about how do you find your purpose, right? Well, you find your purpose when you find God. See, in other words, I shared with her that it doesn't really matter what happened with your father and mother and what's happening there. Is that, the scripture says that if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. God will teach us and train us and love on us and encourage us and build us up and strengthen us for his desires and his purpose, right? If we will allow him to. And so, like I said, you know, it was very, very precious. And, you know, she just said, thank you. And I dropped a lot on her heart, right? A lot of God, if you will. But again, everywhere that I go, and I see this everywhere, is mankind is struggling with their purpose, right? Because the world is telling you that it's okay to be a woman and you're a man, and vice versa, a man if you're a woman. And you have all these, as the scripture says in Psalms chapter 2, why do the people imagine a vain thing, right? Let me go look at that. Psalms chapter 2. He says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, you see? And like I said, all these arguments and all these things that mankind is offended with are vanity and empty, you know? And so like I said, it was a wonderful time in the Lord and sharing with this young lady and, you know, hopefully, if God desires, you know, I'll encounter it again in her life. And, of course, I share with their website, you know, divinefavor.org. And I told her there you can get teachings about the kingdom of God. And it's not about an organized religion and so on. So she took a picture of that website, you know, for the logo and stuff. And it was, like I said, I was very encouraged by the Lord. Amen. She was encouraged by the Lord. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity to, you know, to do the will of God, amen. To walk as a son of God in the earth. And Like I said, you know, doing the will of God, you know. Oh, man. So, anyway. Excuse me a second. All right. So, anyway, like I said, you know, that was some things that have been happening. And I got to go see these brothers yesterday as well. They had a men's meeting and a fellowship where they're at. And I'm hoping to go see them again today. And just so, amen, knowing that we will always reap, you know, in the kingdom of God. You know, it's all about sowing and reaping, right? And so, now, I wanted to share some things with you. After I heard Brother Ed talking about that, I started thinking about the scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6, right? And we know the verse. It's a very, very known passage. It says that the trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, right? So as Jesus says, narrow is the gate, right? Narrow is the path and the way to get to righteousness, right? Let me go back to that real quick. And in other words, you know, to go through a gate, you have to have traveled a certain path. And obviously Jesus was telling us that wide is the way that leads to destruction, the way, the path. But narrow is the path that leads to righteousness, right? And there's going to be a day coming where the sons of God and the daughters of God are going to be sought out for the wisdom of God that they have because of their relationship with the Father. And I believe that, you know, because like I said, these guys were looking for God and crying out for, like I said, mentorship, but they really mean fatherhood. And God sent them a man. And this is the way of God, right? I mean, I had a dream years ago, a couple of years back, and in the dream I was looked to the right side, and there was a couple of guys there, four people there, and I started sharing with them, you know, the kingdom of God, right? And so like I said the other night at this particular restaurant, the scenario played itself out. It was very very well, it was just a blessing, right? After the situation happened is when I started thinking about it all, and it was just very amazing to see God work, amen, the Spirit of God. And so all these things that are distractions, right, we have to contend against them. Now back to the verse in Proverbs, right? Proverbs 3, 5, right? So it says, trust in the Lord, all right? And when Brother Andy was sharing that about, you know, everything has to be, God has to be the center of the core of your life. You cannot let anything else get in that center, in that core of your life, and you must stay aligned with God. Otherwise, you will be distracted and lose your focus, lose your identity. And we have, in other words, we have to continuously, when we do that, obviously, we have to return back to the Lord, amen? And get reunited, get reignited, ignited, refreshed, amen, quickened and made alive back to our focus to the Lord, amen. So the definition of trust here, it's, you know, to have confidence in, to be confident, to be bold, to be secure, to cause, to trust, to make secure, to feel safe and careless, freed, in other words, refuge, all right. And so some of the synonyms for confident are certain and assured, bold, brave, convinced, and so on. And so then I thought about, you know, how the scripture says without faith it's impossible to please him, right? And so I went to looking now at this word faith. And faith is the word pistis in the Greek. And it says the conviction of the truth of anything, of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it in belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ, springing from the faith of the same. So in other words, the scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and then, you know, looking at the word faith, it's saying that when the word says trust in God, he's saying, have faith, have confidence, have assurance in the Lord. In other words, so let's look at this in Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. The word of trust in God, in other words. Trusting in God's word for our lives, amen, for the wisdom and the direction. As I was sharing with this young lady yesterday, I said, when we make decisions, we want to be sure about the decisions that we're making, right? Of course, she said yes. And so, in other words, the confidence and the assuredness that you are moving on the word of a God, of a Father that loves his people so much, amen, that he sent us his only begotten Son, the pattern. He sent us the way of God to show us how, amen, how to have a relationship with the Father. How to get to a place where it's not about you, but it's about Jesus. Amen. How to get to a place, amen, where the word is not your word, it's his word. Where the work is not your work, it's his work. Where the way of how you're doing it is the way of God, not the way of the world, not the way of the religious system. It was so sad to see the meeting and, again, Sarkikos, we were carnal, everything carnal, you know. I mean, this individual they got up there is an individual that's got a girlfriend for years now. And they got him up there ministering to the body of Christ. That's typical, you see, of the Babylonian way. That's how they do it. They bring the entertainer in, the entertainer sells the tickets, and then, of course, they get loaded up in their pockets as well as being able to pay out all these individuals that they brought in for hire. Hirelings, in other words. My God. So again, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your understanding. In other words, have faith in God and the word that God has given you. Amen? For without faith, it's impossible to please him, right? How does faith come? Faith and trust and confidence comes by hearing and hearing by the rhema of God. As God ministers that word through the Holy Ghost in your spirit, and it breathes life into you, that's the word that you have faith toward God with. Amen? And that's what pleases God, when your trust and your confidence and your assuredness and what you rely on is God, the source. Amen? God the Father. The source is the word. The word comes from God, in other words. And so, again, very encouraged, amen, by the Lord. And very encouraged, amen. Trusting in God is having faith toward God, amen. And I love that, amen. It's so simple, glory to God. It's so simple, glory to God. And now when you look at the word trust, you need to understand that you're talking about your confidence, your reliability, and your assuredness of who God is. And what he says he is, and what he says he will do, what he said he has done, what he's already done, you're confident and you're sure about it. And because of that, the way and the path that you need to take in life for whatever decisions or directions God has taken you in, you're going to hear from God. You're going to trust in God because you've heard from God, in other words. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for your precious word, Lord God, how that we can trust you, Lord God. We can trust the process of how you minister and how you bring forth life, amen, out of our spirits, how you bring us direction and help, oh God, how you bring us eternal Zoe, eternal life of God through the Spirit, amen, in all the situations in our lives, Father God, for our family members, for our loved ones, for those that we pray for, Lord God, and those that we trust in. We trust you, Lord God, with our lives. We trust you with our families. We trust you, Father, with our futures. Amen. We seek the kingdom first. Amen. And all these things that the Gentiles seek will be added unto us, oh God. Hallelujah. Amen. Very encouraged by the Lord. Amen. So encouraged by God. Amen. All right, so let me post up the outline. We're going to get started with the outline, amen. And like I said, we've been talking about the way of God, amen. And like I said, I've been sharing a little bit about why it is the gate, amen. In other words, the way of destruction is very wide, but the narrow path, there's only one way, and that's the Father. And your relationship to the Father, maintaining your strength and your trust and your confidence and your faith toward God, and the word of God, the word that he's given you, the dreams amen, the things and the ideas that are birthed out of your spirit, waiting on the Lord for those things to develop, amen. That reminds me of a scripture. Let's see if I can find it. I'm going to type this in real quick. In Psalms chapter 106, verse 13, it says in the King James, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. Now let me look at this in the Amplified. I want you to see this. Amen. In the Amplified, it says, they hastily forgot his works. They did not earnestly wait for his plans to develop regarding them, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted and trade and tried to restrain God with their insistent desires in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls and thinned their numbers by disease and death. They didn't realize that they had opened up the door to chaos and confusion in their lives through their rebellion. And understanding the way of God is that the scripture says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Well, you have to submit therefore first to God. Well, these individuals did not submit therefore to God. Therefore, when they wanted help for the situations they were going through, there was no help. There was no other alternative but, you know, because of their lack of repentance and realizing what they had done, they got wiped out. And so, again, but knowing that if we trust in God, amen, and our assurance and our confidence and our faith toward God is in that word of God that he's given us, amen, through our time with him, that will move you over into the next phase of your lives, amen. And so we're constantly being moving from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength, amen, in our lives, in our walks with God. And you know, when Brother Randy shared that, you know, I've kind of felt like, you know, I had that thought in my heart that, you know, I feel like I've strayed away from the Lord. And looking back, you know, the situations that happen, you know, that distract us and move us away from God. And a few times there in the past few weeks, you know, I realized that, you know, things were out of hand and you know, situations happened that took my time away, right, from the time that I set aside in the mornings with my Father. But the point is that, you know, all it takes is us repenting back and turning back. Amen. Repent, as Jesus said, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You want to get back at the Father's table. You want to get back at the Father's feet. You want to get back at the feet of Jesus Christ, how he's ministering to Mary, and Martha got upset about it, see, because she was distracted. You want to get back to that place, all we got to do is repent, and now we're back at the feet, if you will, and receiving from the Father. Praise God. Now, so in the outline, like I said, we've been talking a lot about the way of God, and last week I finished on, you know, talking about the sons of God and what a son of God is, right? And the distinction of ministers versus sons, right? What I saw Saturday evening were ministers, not sons. And, of course, the situation, too, is that, you know, when we hear the kingdom of God, you know, we've got to set aside everything we think we know about God. And now, all of a sudden, the process begins again. And we get refreshed, reignited, all right, confirmed, strengthened, encouraged, back in the Lord as we give our way to the way of God. As we give our lives to the way of God, as we sidestep ourselves and turn back and get back with the Lord, amen? He'll never refuse us, amen? He's always there, amen? So the sons of God, right? John 1:12, authority to become the sons, amen? Matthew 3:17, the Father said, I am well, this is my beloved Son, I am well pleased, my beloved weos. That's what I want to hear from the Father. I don't want to hear from anybody else about my life in my walk with God except from the Father. That's what a son does. The sons always please the Father. That's John 8:29. I'm just recapping a little bit. John chapter 8, verse 29. And he who sent me is ever with me. My Father has not left me alone. This is the Amplified version. For I always do what pleases him. Praise God. That's what a son is desiring, always to please the Father, right? And so they cry, Abba, Father. I want to look at that in the Amplified Bible, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For the spirit which is in you, which you have now received, is not the spirit of slavery to put you once again more in bondage to fear. You see, because when you're in the Babylonian system and you don't know which way and what direction is going to be next, you start getting apprehensive, you start getting full of fear because you don't know the direction of God for your life, because you're in a system that is not designed to raise sons and daughters. You're not in the Father's house. You see, I love this song of my precious brother Bruce. I love that voice, that strong, deep voice. Amen. He says that in my Father's house are many, many mansions. In my Father's house, there is room. In my Father's house are many, many mansions. In my Father's house is where I'll blossom. And he says, up in heaven, gathered around the throne. I can't remember it all right now, but then he says, and you know, down here on earth, it's bone to bone. That is the kingdom of God. It's bone to bone, right? Relationships, amen. One with another in the Lord, centered around Christ. One spirit, one God, one Christ, amen. But anyway, sonship, amen. So we haven't been, you know, we haven't received the spirit of slavery to put us once again in fear, in bondage. That's what Babylon does. It's got all the sons of God and the daughters of God in bondage, slavery. You see, they're serving to what end? You see, because the Father's not pleased. He's looking at the heart, always. But in the system, he's not pleased with that, right? This is where the scripture's going to, you know, like I said, you know, strive to enter in that straight gate. For many are going to desire to go into that gate, that narrow way, straight. But they're not going to be able to because they haven't been in the Father's house. They haven't been trained and taught in the kingdom of God. And the opportunity is here now, amen, to get taught and get trained in the ways in the kingdom of God if we want to follow the Lord. Now, if you want to follow the Babylonian system and all their foolishness, so be it, you see. I want to read something in Revelation chapter 18. I allude to this quite a bit, you know, because I remember I was sharing with the sister one time and how the Lord, I believe, was directing me at that time to come out of a situation. And I was quoting a little bit from Revelation 18. She just said, no, 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 no. You know? And anyway, obviously she didn't understand, you know, what the Lord was telling me. He says in verse 1, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, and having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mighty with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. You see, that is the word of the Lord already. It's already fallen. It's fallen and become the habitation of devils. See, because they don't submit therefore to God. Therefore, the doors to demonic activity are open everywhere. People are dying from cancer. People involved in drug abuse and addictions. People involved in prostitution. People are having sex out of their marriage. People aren't even married and they're having sex. Men with men, women with women, everywhere in the body of Christ. See, because Jesus said, the church that I build, the gates of hell won't prevail. Well, then why do they? Well, because man built it. Has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations, word nations here is the word ethnos, the ethnics, the people, have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. You see, it's easy to get drunk, if you will, on your own blood in that system if you've made it to what they consider is the summit, right? A pastor, some kind of minister in that ministry and so on. So all the nations of the earth and the, with her and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works in the cup of which she had filled, filled to her double. Mm. And it goes on, you know, talking about all these sons of God and daughters of God that are trapped. All right, now, let's get back to the outline. Man, I get fired up about that stuff, you know, because, you know, well, all right. So, okay, so now, again, you guys can go through the outline at your own leisure and time. But again, in 2 Corinthians 4:2, you know, he talks about, let's look at that one, handling the word of God deceitfully. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, all right, using it to ensnare and entrap, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, all right? Now, when you look at the last verse on that particular passage, I'm sorry, it's verse chapter 2, 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we Christ. You see? Mouthpiece for the Lord, amen? And so, handling this word of God deceitfully and craftily and using it for your gain and your glory is a big no-no in the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen. In the system, the Babylonian system, sure. They bring in the big-time entertainers and they pay them big money and, you know, it doesn't even matter if they have a relationship with God or not. All right. Now, the zeal of thine house, scripture says in John 2:17, hath eaten me up. In other words, Jesus Christ had such a desire for the Father, amen, such a desire to do it the way of God, because he knew that in the Father's house is where the sons and the daughters were going to be trained. Outside of that, it's a big mess. And so, restoring back to divine favor, that's what the sons of God do through the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation, restoration, is divine favor. Restoring back to the body of Christ the divine favor of God, getting them to a place, amen, where they trust in the Lord. They have expectation from God, confidence in God, trust in God's word without any doubt in their lives. Amen. All right, now, let's see here. All right, so the way of the cosmos, right? The way. All right, now Proverbs 4:14. Let's go to that. Mm-hmm. Enter not the path. All right, we're talking about the path of destruction here, the wide path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. All right? You see, avoid it, pass, don't pass by it, turn from it, pass away from it. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause somebody to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. In other words, the way or the path that the just are on is continuously being revealed with light, because God is coming forth out of your spirit by the Holy Ghost as he brings you his word, and is lighting your path. Amen? Your way. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They don't even know what they stumble at. My God. Of course, we know what they're stumbling at. Well, they're stumbling at all this demonic activity that they've allowed to enter into their lives. And so, in Proverbs 14:11, he says, the house of the wicked, all right, we're talking about the way of the cosmos, shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Now, cosmos is a Greek word that means is one of the words that's translated world in the New Testament, and it means an orderly arrangement. So this whole worldly system, you see, this whole worldly way is, as Jesus said, it's going to lead you to, it's a wide path that leads you to destruction. That's what the world is designed to do, is to keep you distracted as a son or daughter of God away from God. All right? Now, verse 12, Proverbs 14, 12 says, there is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's constant frustration, constant anxiety, constant distrust. You don't know who to trust. Constant chaos, constant confusion. That's what the world is all about. Now, Matthew 10:5, all right, the way of the Gentile, Matthew 10:5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, not to go into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Why didn't Jesus want them to go in this way? Well, because he knew that the way of the Gentiles, they were riddled with demonic activity. They were riddled with idolatry. They were riddled with perversion. Men with men, women with women, men with their children, men with children, men with, you know, young boys, catamite, homosexuals. All this perversion. You see, he knew all this was out there. And I don't need you to be exposed to this at this time. I've got another plan for that situation. Thank God for Apostle Paul, right? Wow. But anyway, the way of the Gentiles, I don't need to go into that situation right now. And then so, now in John 16:28, let me show you something here. I love this passage, boy. He says, I came forth from the Father and am come into the cosmos. Again, is a word, oscillatory repetition. I leave the cosmos and I go to the Father. When I go out into the cosmos, I must be equipped. I must have spent time with the Father. I must have been restored and brought back to that place of strength in the Lord. Because the wicked, the world is wicked. The way of the world is wicked. Like I said, everywhere you go, you know, there's all kinds of perversions. There's all kinds of things that your eyes can get entrapped with and distracted with, right? And, but again, as long as your heart is centered on the Father, when you go into the world, I came into the world from the Father. That's how you need to approach the world. You better be coming from the perspective of God in your life. You better be coming from your relationship with the Father. Because that relationship with your Father is where you get restored, revived, refreshed, healed and strengthened, encouraged and blessed. The presence of God, you see. How in shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that your presence goes with us? That's the distinction. That's the difference. We have the presence of God. So when you go into this world, you better have the Father with you. You better have spent time with the Lord, because this world will eat you up. And so it says, I leave the world and I go back to the Father. It's a situation where you're constantly going back and forth, back to the Father, back to the world, back to the Father, back to the world, because we can't stay isolated, right? We can't avoid, you know, not being out there as the sons or daughters of God. It's as crazy as it is, you see, and as demonic as it is, you need to keep your heart and your eyes focused on God, right? Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it flow the issues of life. All right, now, 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, amen, neither the things that are in the world. The word world, here's the word cosmos. If any man love the cosmos, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't expect to move from your own spirit if your life is full of distractions and filled up with this world. You won't find it. You can't find it. You know, you can even be in a job, and if you're distracted by other things in that job, eventually they're going to tell you, hey, we can't use you anymore because you don't want to focus on us. Hello? But all that is in the world, here it is, the lust of the flesh, the pride of the lust of the eyes, and the pride of bios, livelihood, is not of the Father, but is of the cosmos. And the world passes away. To pass away is to pass by, to lead past, you see. And the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Abides forever because you're forever in the presence of God. You're forever bringing, getting the wisdom from God. You're forever walking in that path, and that path is constantly being illuminated for you as a son or daughter of God. Amen? Now, all right, so we're going to cover a little bit about demonic, satanic way word will work. You see, the enemy and the demonic realm, like I said, it's a situation where they're all behind this orderly arranged system, this cosmos. They are behind those ideas, those for you, the views, the philosophies, right? The misinterpretation, the misunderstanding, they're full of confusion. That's what demonic is. It's confused. And so, unclean spirits, right? Matthew 12. Matthew 12. A good man. Hang on a minute. Is that right? Matthew 12. 43, I'm sorry. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, and he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none, then he says, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he finds it swept and garnished, ordered. Amen. Submit therefore to God. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. You see, they're constantly being filled with demonic activity. They might get some help, they might pray, and they might get someone to pray for them, amen, and all of a sudden they're walking in the path, amen, they're walking the way of God, amen, as the scripture says, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and destroy. He came and he stole that word back out of their lives. They were walking in the grace of that word. They were walking in the power of that rhema that God brought them. But all of a sudden, the enemy comes back and they're bringing all the distraction. They're bringing all the chaos and confusion. And all of a sudden, that individual begins to get distracted again. And all of a sudden, they come back and they cause the state of that man or that woman or mankind to be worse than it was at the first. And this is how the wicked generation, the world system, is constantly flowing and operating in. They don't know anything else because they don't want to receive God. They don't want to repent. And so in Job chapter 1, verse 7, he talks about, you know, where have you been? You know, I'm walking to and fro. This is what Peter said too, is that the enemy as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who's he going to devour? Well, the one that's got the door wide open because his life is full of chaos. And that can happen too, even if you're a son or daughter of God, you see. The narrow path is what you constantly being maintained. You have to, as it said earlier, let me read it again here. He says, strive, you see. Agenazomai, contend with, contest. All this perversion is trying to get into your heart and bring distraction to your life, you see. And so the scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:26, what's this? 2 Timothy 2:26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You see, the only reason you're taken captive by him at his will is because you're not submitting therefore to God. You see? And the scripture, like it says here, and the servant of the Lord, verse 24, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, is italicized unto all, apt to teach and patient. Patient here is a word, anexakos, patience patient of ills and wrongs, forbearing, enduring of ill. Patient, in other words, putting up with, you know, what the people are going through, but knowing at the same time that they that if they will receive the kingdom of God, their lives will be turned away from all that. All right? In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You see, when you're walking in confusion, you don't even realize that you're tripping on your own feet. You think it's normal. It's not normal. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Well, see, somebody had to tell them the truth, the way of the kingdom of God. Somebody had to bring it forth for them. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You see? Wow. All right. Now, let's see here. 63:1. Psalm 63:1. I want to look at that. When he, the Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You see, in the dry and the thirsty is a place of the demonic realm, the confusion, right? And as I said, as we turn back to the Lord, amen, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. When we turn back from the Lord and get back to the Father's table, amen, all of a sudden we're refreshed, we're strengthened, we're no longer confused, we're no longer walking in any dry path, amen. And so this is the way, like I said, you know, these demonic activity, they want that place, they want you to stay and remain in that place of confusion. It's because once you start hearing the wisdom of the just, amen, and you start turning back to the Father, the way of God, to get you to a place to where you mature and you grow up in the Father, in the kingdom, in my Father's house. And then he, the Father, turns around and begins to instruct you and teach you in who you are as a son or daughter of God, in your graces and your abilities, your anointings, your selections, your callings, amen, and the graces of God in your life. When he begins to unfold all this, he begins to make you understand your Derek, how he slanted you, how he made you, the purpose. And then as you grow up and mature in the Lord and the kingdom of God and go through this process, and then he turns around and gives you right back to doing the work of God in the earth. Amen. Let's see here. Well, we'll pick this up on the next session. And like I said, I kind of thought I could get through this, but maybe, I don't know. Like I said, you know, the demonic realm and how that he constantly, the demons are constantly seeking to keep us confused, right? And so eventually, when you're not doing the work of God, guess whose work you're doing? You're working for yourself. You're working for demons now. Their work, their will, their way, their word, their way, their work. All right? Because remember, the enemy is just a copycat. Satan's just a copycat. He doesn't have anything of originality. He doesn't even have the power to create original. Original confusion, chaos, because that's what he keeps doing, but not original as from God, from your spirit. Amen? All right. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this time with you, for this time in your word, Father. I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, Father God. I thank you for your faithfulness and how you're constantly refreshing us, Father, bringing us to a place of refreshment, of encouragement, of blessing, oh God, because we constantly trust in you, Lord God. We have faith, confidence, and assurance in you, Lord God, and we don't lean unto our own understanding. We lean to the understanding that comes forth out of our spirit, and because of this, in all our ways, Father, if we acknowledge you, you bring direction and a distinct path for our lives. And we bless you, Father, for your faithfulness. I thank you for this precious day, Father. And I bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed.
Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The hands have lifted up, O Lord. They've lifted up their voice. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty, the Lord is clothed with strength.
Established of old, thou art from everlasting. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten the cheek of my enemies. Thou hast shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the
your great love, for you have shown your kindness.